1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. President Biden in Northfield, Minnesota, touting his administration's policies to invest in rural America. During his comments, he says the U.S. is working to get more Americans out of Gaza after the Rafah crossing opened to dual nationals today. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller estimating as many as 400 Americans want to leave and says more aid is also getting into Gaza.
59 trucks entered Gaza through the Rafah crossing yesterday, representing the highest number of trucks in a single day to enter Gaza since the humanitarian corridor began on October 21st, and bringing the total number through yesterday to 217.
Israeli Defense Forces taking responsibility for a second strike on a large North Gaza refugee camp targeting Hamas. In New York City, Donald Trump Jr. testifying in the civil trial against the Trump Organization. Federal Reserve Board for the second straight time has left interest rates unchanged. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering whether to hear a lawsuit to overturn the state school choice program. WisPolitics reports conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley says the high court should have rejected the lawsuit. She says it's a policy matter for lawmakers and not a matter for the courts. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley's dissent. Interested parties have until the 14th to weigh in. University of Wisconsin officials say they want elected leaders to stop politicizing diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. University system leadership says DEI programming promotes more inclusive communities for all kinds of students. Governor Evers is suing Republican lawmakers after they stalled scheduled pay raises for state university workers. UW system president Jay Rothman says it's time to stop the rancor. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has confirmed two cases of chronic wasting disease in northwest Wisconsin. One deer harvested in Polk County will begin a three-year baiting and feeding ban starting on December 1st this year, and Barron County will renew the ban it already had in place. The other, harvested in Trumbull County, will renew baiting and feeding bans in Trumbull and Jackson counties, but not Eau Claire County, as a sufficient ban in Eau Claire County is already in place. Wisconsin lawmakers debated a bill on Tuesday that would allow clerks to start processing absentee ballots a day before Election Day. The bill would not allow elections officials to start counting the votes early, but would allow them to perform other tasks like ensuring voters are eligible and checking for a witness signature. Clerks also wanted to run ballots through voting equipment early, which would not count the vote but allow it to be processed faster, but an amendment to the bill removes that option. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Bucks are in Toronto. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks take on the Toronto Raptors tonight at 6 p.m. The Bucks are 2-1. Toronto is 1-3. Baseball, game 5 of the World Series tonight. First pitch at 7:03. The Texas Rangers hold a 3-1 lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks in the best-of-7 series. NFL, the Raiders firing their head coach, Josh McDaniels, and their GM, Dave Ziegler. Former Giants linebacker Antonio Pierce, now in the coaching staff, has been promoted to interim head coach. The Packers trying to explain why they traded veteran defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills yesterday before the trade deadline. GM Brian Gutekunst.
Well, you know, it's a tough one because of what he means to our team. But at the same time, you know, we weren't looking to move anybody. Got a call kind of out of the blue a few days ago. Weren't really interested in doing it. But at the end of the day, the offer was kind of too good to pass up.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 20. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 37 tomorrow, 26 tomorrow night, cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM, right now 33.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Dom, the Lumberjacky Wednesday edition, happy hour. Hell, dude, we've turned the calendar. We're in November. Does that mean the pumpkin spice season is over?
It's always pumpkin spice season, Crudy.
I don't drink this stuff. Not a big coffee guy. Definitely not a pumpkin spice guy.
Well, if they made a pumpkin spice diet Mountain Dew, you'd drink the hell out of that, wouldn't you?
Maybe. You know, girls. I was really hoping to come back and start this hour with some reporting on the testimony of young Trump Jr. Donnie Jr. Fredo.
Yeah.
Giving testimony in the today. New York fraud trial. And as soon as he's done, then it's Beavis's turn. Or is he Butthead? I forget which of the brothers is which. Eric, it's back-to-back Trump son testimony. Today, perhaps tomorrow, if necessary for Eric. And then the Don, he's given testimony on Monday, at least is scheduled to. And I understand the first daughter, Ivanka, you know, the one daddy favors most. Well, she's supposed to give testimony next Wednesday in this fraud trial, but she's filed one more appeal. Trying to get out of it. If your dad was Donald Trump, would you be trying to get out of testifying against him? I think I would.
Why, out of loyalty or fear?
Both.
Come on,
man. You wouldn't testify against your daddy, would you? If you could help it.
And dear father has passed, so I'll never have to worry about that. But I don't know, man. If someone's, you know, in charge, you know, responsible for an insurrection, and I, you know, appreciated democracy, I may have to set the family loyalty aside, which of course she will do because she is her father's daughter. She will protect herself and throw the old man under the bus if that's what she needs to do. That's my personal opinion.
Well, nobody wants to go to jail for Trump, do they? I mean, maybe Weisselberg.
Yeah.
So what can you tell me? Does anybody have news of how this testimony went? I even tried the Fox News Digital. Man, of course, they're not covering it.
I got it on the Raw story, man.
Oh, Raw story. Why didn't I start there? The only news aggregator we need here for the Devil's Advocate's preparation, the Raw story. You start. I'll jump in.
Reports. All right. It was the first time Donald Trump Jr. stepped foot in the courtroom, though his brother Eric has been present for much of the proceedings and has been largely polite to others present, even shaking hands with Attorney General Letitia James, who brought the lawsuit against his family's business, said MSNBC's legal correspondent Laura Jarrett. Trump Jr. can take the Fifth Amendment in the trial, though experts have said what is expected to be heard is a lot of, I don't recall, and I don't know, and claims that he didn't have any experience on the day-to-day operations of the Trump Organization that echoes what he said in his deposition. The testimony began with a group of photographers rushing in and taking shots. I should have worn makeup, said Trump Jr. He was first asked who his employer was, and he seemed uncertain. I believe it's still Trump Payroll Corporation, he said. When asked about his experience, Don Jr. claimed that he doesn't know much about accounting. Quote, that's what CPAs are for. He went on to say that he and other executives paid such financial experts so they would handle such things. The judge didn't like that comment, saying it was non-responsive. It's an indication of how the testimony will likely unfold, said MSNBC's Lisa Rubin in a legal analysis. She continued telling Katie Turr that Trump Jr. admitted on the stand clearly, openly, almost proudly, and he doesn't know anything about GAAP or other accounting standards or the accounting standards board that sets those rules. He's basically saying, I have nothing to offer in that respect because I relied on my lawyers and accountants to do that work for me. I paid them millions of dollars. She said the judge saying it was non-responsive left the attorney general a bit peeved. I did a little bit of everything. Everything from design, sales, marketing, finance, construction, you name it, Don Jr. continued. After his father became president, he said he, Eric, and CFO Alan Weisselberg took over the company. Rubin noticed an odd comment from Trump Jr. in which he described himself as on equal footing with his siblings until that time in 2017 when they took over, he said they reported to their father. Occasionally, Jr. fidgeted his thumbs and shifted his body, appearing to sit up taller. His suit was reportedly very blue. He went on to say that he wasn't the one who filed Weisselberg and didn't know if it fell to his father, to his brother to do. Trump's lawyer objected to the question and judge agreed, telling prosecutors to move it along. Weisselberg, of course, chairman of the Donald J. Trump Revocable Trust until he was indicted on tax fraud charges and was ultimately sentenced to 5 months in prison. At that point, he stepped down and Don Jr. was the only one in charge. That was the entity that Trump said he funneled all his money into, so as to be overseen by his heirs. Trump claimed it would remove all possibility of impropriety, but Bishop pointed out that the claim was debatable. As Rubin pointed out, the ultimate authority post-Trump inauguration was held by Eric Weisselberg and Trump Jr. Weisselberg wasn't there after some legal trouble he got himself into. So, recap. Jr. doesn't know anything about accounting. He does the finance and some marketing and all sorts of other things, but you know, you leave the financing up to the experts.
Well, well done, Nate. Ivanka Trump files a desperate notice of appeal in an effort to duck fraud trial testimony. You know, I'd try to duck daddy's glare if I could as well, Dom. Ivanka has filed notice. She will make another attempt not to testify in the $250 million fraud trial brought against her family's company. Will you excuse me? I got to get my hair done. In a filing on Wednesday, Trump, that's Ivanka, gave notice that she would appeal New York Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron's ruling that she must testify on November 8th, even though she was dismissed as a party in the case. Now, Ivanka's father, former President Donald Trump, has attacked Engoron for ordering his daughter to testify. His adult sons, Don Jr. and Eric, were also expected to testify. And in fact, we can confirm Fredo was taking the stand and confirmed that he knows nothing, he saw nothing, he knows nothing. And really, we're not exactly what he does around here. Do I get that part right, Dom?
I think that sounds about right. What would you say you do here? I'm a people person.
One other thing, Don Jr., as he was entering the courtroom, Dom, well, someone on the social medias were attacking him, heckling him, if you will. And I'd like to share it because I find it a little clever, a little funny. Just minutes before walking into the New York Supreme Court, Donald Trump Jr. found time to call out a heckler who accused him of being addicted to cocaine. The post on the, well, I guess that's the Twitter social media platform on Wednesday, Trump called attention, Trump Jr., Fredo, called attention to a person who alleged the former president's son was on coke. Trump Jr. is the joke on coke, the commentator repeatedly posted. You know, he was tagging different people, telling his joke over and over and tagging different people. And then he was raised up by Donald Trump Jr. in response. That guy definitely wants to date me, Trump wrote in response. And as you read it, it's Trump Jr. is a joke on coke. Trump Jr. is a joke on coke. If someone was posting that over and over again on the social medias, the, you know, let's call it the Twitter, the X, Dom is a joke on coke. Would you say he wants to date me? Is that your...
Yeah, that doesn't... No, that would not be my response at all. No, of course not. I mean, but of course he's being snarky. He's, you know, embracing it, just being Trump Jr., I guess. But whatever. I mean, people are going to heckle. Heckler's going to heckle, man. Hate is going to hate. That's fine. The real problem, the real question is, what did Donald Trump Jr. know, and when did he know? Was he involved? No, I know nothing. I know nothing. Judge wasn't buying. Now, let's not forget now. They're already guilty of the fraud, right? This is now we're talking about how much is the fine. How much is the civil penalty for engaging in years-long fraud? And I saw something, I don't have it in front of me, but it was basically a testimony analysis of how much money the banks lost because Donald Trump lied about his assets.
Meaning lost through failure to charge appropriate interest rates due to risk. Right.
They made money, but they would have made like $100 million more, something along those lines.
$168 million, if I read the reporting correctly.
All right. So you saw it as well.
I did.
So, yeah, I mean, that was an astounding number. That's a big number. I mean, no wonder why Tish James came up with $250 million. I mean, Trump's and the Trump family, oh, man, everyone made money. The banks made money. Everyone's happy. Yeah, but you made a bunch of money, and you denied them to make their money because if they would have charged you what they would have normally have charged you, they would have charged everybody else because if you didn't, you know, do your fraud, you would have had to pay a higher interest rate. Perhaps the terms of the loan would have been different. They'd have made more money on you. I think they call that opportunity cost, but it's fraud, no matter how you look at it.
$168 million in interest saved, Dom. That's not fraud, is it? That's just looking for a deal. You know,
come on. You made money. You could have made $168 million more dollars, but you made money. So what's the problem? No harm, no foul, right?
Dominic, apparently Don Jr., Fredo, is rap testimony for the day and is set to go back on the witness stand tomorrow. Eric Trump is also slated to be called by the AG's lawyers once Don Jr.'s testimony concludes. And the father goes Monday in Ivanka. Goes next Wednesday, at least if that's what the courts decide. They've already said once she must testify. And the mood was lightened up after Don Jr., an estate prosecutor, was asked how to pronounce the word revocable following a short afternoon break. AG Colleen Federighi asked the former first son what the Donald J. Trump revocable trust was, prompting Arthur Engoron to interject, "Now that we finally have a trustee in the courtroom, we can finally ask if it's revocable or revocable." I assume it's revocable. If the judge has to ask, who knows the answer? More devil's advocates. Not us, clearly.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
education.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocate.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open. Join us 844-967-2789. Of course, stick around. Our pal Rick Smith, Rick Smith Show. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about some UAW labor strikes.
Dom, the punchline of the story, I didn't quite get to it before the break. The judge in the fraud trial, New York fraud trial, Trump Jr., Fredo as we like to call him, gave testimony today and at a lighter point, according to the New York Post. During the trial today, the judge asked, is it a revocable or revocable trust? And he asked the question of Don Jr. as he was part of the revocable trust. Your Honor, it's a good question, but I'm not sure which it actually is. Don Jr. answered, why would you need to know that? The lawyer then asked a question using the pronunciation revocable, to which Don Jr. joked, I'm not sure what that is. I only understand revocable, prompting chuckles from the gallery.
Wow.
He also drew laughter, according to the New York Post, real-time reporting from the courtroom scene today, Dom. No cameras in the courtroom, at least not in real time, not live video feed. That's a little bit of a disappointment. I'm looking forward to the Georgia trial being televised. But a lawyer with the AG's office began questioning Don Jr. about his educational background and about a series of accounting terms. Now, Dom, you know well, I never took an accounting class or a business class or really any of those sort of classes. I know you've taken a few. You've got your MBA. I less so. But somewhere out there on the street, I learned terms like gap accounting, generally accepted accounting principles. It's kind of right in the name, right?
Yes.
And gap accounting, if I understand it, and you know, I'm just a layman out here, Dom. I'm not a smart guy like Trump Jr. But gap accounting says, well, you account for future liabilities when you do the math. Meaning here in the state of Wisconsin, we actually do what? It's cash-based accounting. Meaning that if you got $1 in your bank account, you balance the books.
That's right.
Even
man.
If, like Scott Walker, the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, even if you throw debt into next month, which creates a deficit next month, but today you balance the books, which is a legal requirement under cash accounting principles, but really doesn't mean anything because it just means you got $1 in the bank. But gap accounting, Dom, that's the way it should be done, right? That would acknowledge future liabilities.
Yes.
And we've had promises here in the state of Wisconsin that at some point, I think it was Scott Walker that made this promise, we're going to institute gap accounting principles. Have we done so, Dom, in the 12 plus years we've been doing this radio show?
No, not at all. Why would they want to do that and actually have a real financial? I mean, the CAFR reports here in the state of Wisconsin, they do crunch them in a different way. You can look at that, but no, that's not to my understanding how it's not been updated to gap accounting. Now, what's the point? Now, Don Jr., was he unaware of the differences in the accounting? And does it really even matter? Because, you know, listen, I mean, this is about you know, Donald Trump saying something's 10,000 square feet, 30,000 square feet, when it's an actually 10,000 square feet. I mean, you don't need to be an MBA or a student of gap accounting to understand that that's just wrong. That you're tripling the size of something because you can now claim it's worth more. That's very basic. You know what I'm saying? Hey, how many sandwiches do you have, Junior? Well, I've got one. No, you got three. Oh, I got three. No, that's not how it works, man. You don't need to be a financial genius to get that. You don't need to be a financial genius to know that if you have, rents that are standard, you can't raise the rents to market rates and assuming and looking at the valuation saying, oh, I can raise my rents to market rates. No, you can't do that either. You don't need to be a financial wizard to know these things.
Well, Dominic, as mentioned before, and I don't mean to be redundant, Don Jr. admitted to not knowing what some of the, let's call them, accounting terms meant. I rely on professionals and CPAs. We pay millions of dollars and they have great degrees. They do. Now, Dom, I also pay a CPA to do my taxes, but I would hope at the end of it, I have some basic understanding of what he's put on the paper, as that's information that came from me. Right? When you go to the accountant, you present your financials. The Trump organization has presented their financials, and then the CPA shares that information potentially. But these are still documents that are created by the Trump
organization. Originated by the Trump organization. Yes, they're the ones. I mean, the CPAs are not in the back rooms, on QuickBooks sending out invoices. They're not doing that. They take and they work with the information that is provided to them by their clients. Unless you want them to go in and do a full-ass audit, which I guarantee you the Trump organization is not about.
Well, he was going to release his taxes as soon as the audit was done, right, Dom? Yeah. Couple weeks.
As soon as the IRS audit is done, yeah, he's gonna let everybody know.
Well, back to the courtroom action with Trump Jr. So the former first son drew laughs from the courtroom gallery after the judge pressed Colleen Faherty, the AG's office, to phrase her questions in the positive. You know, it's always good to be positive, Dom. I try to be positive. Yeah. Do you have that understanding? Justice Arthur Engoron said, giving an example of how Faherty's question could be phrased in a positive form. Don Jr. interjected, I have no understanding. To laughs from the courtroom gallery. I think that was more of a rhetorical statement by the judge. You did not have to confirm your ignorance in that matter.
But he's happy to do so, just in case anybody questioned.
Just in case. A little bit more here. Don Jr. took the witness stand about 2:50 p.m. to be questioned about the extent of any involvement he had in pumping up his father's total assets. You know, the alleged fraud scheme, Dom. And the eldest Trump son entered the courtroom with a smile, wearing a white shirt, salmon tie, navy suit, and his black hair slicked back in typical fashion. A little powder on his nose, perhaps, Dom. You know, it's hard to tell from this far back. And maybe that's just the courtroom sketch, but looks a little white around his nose. I should have worn makeup equipped as the news salmon tie. It's like an off pink. I should have worn makeup equipped as news photographers. Well, you should have wiped your nose at least. As they snap pictures of him, Trump Jr. is an executive vice president at Trump Org and is accused alongside his dad and brother and the AG's office to helping inflate the value of assets. Do you think it helps his cause, Dom, when he acknowledges or states to the court he has no knowledge about the business world or the environment in which he works? Is that somehow an affirmative defense? Is that a
ignorance is no excuse. But this one blows my mind from the Hill. Let's just say this again. The banks, according to Lost Interest, the banks hand out loans, calculations determined across four Trump organization assets. Banks lost out by, adhering to the fraudulent numbers that the Trump organization provided them. They lost out on just over $168 million in interest. I mean, at some point you start talking about real money.
Yeah, but he paid them all back. Just minus the interest. Minus the real price to risk interest rate that they should have been charged by Deutsche Bank or whatever other Russian oligarch was funding these operations. Maybe it was, what do they call it? Money laundering.
You never
allegedly know. Come back, more Devil's Advocates and our pal union labor guy Rick Smith.
Okay.
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Open enrollment in the health insurance marketplace is underway. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing bills they say will make health care in Wisconsin better and more affordable. One bill would expand Badger Care eligibility for some
and other paint-damaging contaminants. Now listen to this. It lasts 7 years. That's right, 7 years. Guaranteed. So if you really love your car, show it some love with Z-Gloss by Z-Bart. Just Google Z-Bart.
Welcome to Milwaukee Bucks basketball.
Horace left of the lane. Step back jumper just inside the arc. He's feeling it.
This is the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Dames into the front court. Puts the runner off the window. Counter with a foul.
Tonight, the Bucks take on the Toronto Raptors from Scotiabank Arena in Toronto.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious, takes it all out on that rim. One-hand slam.
Now, here's the radio host of the Bucks, Justin Garcia.
And it is time for the first road game of the season. The Bucks in Toronto tonight to tangle with the Raptors. Good evening, everyone. I'm Justin Garcia, joined as always by the voice of the Bucks, Dave Kane, as we get you set for another night of Bucks basketball. And Dave, we talked about this a little bit just a couple of days ago, but a special start to the season for Adrian Griffin continues. His first game is against Nick Nurse, and now his first road game is where he coached under Nick Nurse in Toronto.
Yeah, here we go. And don't forget the fact that he got to go against his son as well in that mix. Yeah. And then for good measure, why not get another good one in there 2 nights ago against the Miami Heat, a team that maybe not as closely aligned with Coach Griff, but obviously an intriguing matchup, and it ended up being an intriguing showdown as we expected it would be. But, yeah, you know, I mean, Coach Griff returns to face off against the team where he served as lead assistant the last 5 years here in Toronto in a matchup against his former players. It pits two of the new six head coaches in the league this season. His Griff will match wits with Darko Rajakovic, who he coached with as a fellow assistant at OKC. So it's almost like the schedule makers had Adrian Griffin in mind when they put this schedule together for the Bucks, at least through this first week of the season, because we've had constantly things to talk about. Griff is going to get bored after this four-game stretch is over. He's going to be like, wait a second, where's my homecoming parade? Where's my family member on the other bench? Where's my former colleagues? But it is a small world that the NBA occupies, and all these guys typically have some kind of connection with each other.
Yeah, it's a small world, and it's a lot like other professions where you hear the phrase, if it's 99 guys or 100 guys going for 99 jobs, it seems like there's a lot of that in the league, of moving from place to place, and certainly those relationships that you build up. We've seen that with Griff through the years as an assistant coach and all the guys that he has had a chance to coach under. I know he was asked about it a little bit ago when he addressed the media. We'll hear some of that. It is a special moment for him to be back in Toronto, but if you're Adrian Griffin, it's special, but it's also, hey, we're trying to win, and we're trying to, most importantly, clean some things up that we've heard reoccurring the first couple of games through the season.
And that's one of the intriguing parts of this game as well, beyond the two, you know, storylines with Griff coming home and, of course, but the fact that, as I mentioned, you got two first-time head coaches here in both Griff and Darko Rajakovic. And like the Bucks, the Raptors have and will continue to see growing pains as they shift away from a system that they used a season ago. And ironically, the Raptors are going away from the aggressive defense that they were with a more traditional big man in Jakob Poeltl in the middle, while the Bucks more looking to incorporate more of the aggressive turnover-forcing defenses. But I think really the one big difference between the teams in general, though, is the fact that the Raptors lose their biggest half-court offensive threat from the last number of years in Fred VanVleet, while the Bucks added their biggest threat in Damian Lillard. And thus you may see teams going in different directions as the season progresses, but time will tell.
And really, we talked about those growing pains that are going to be there. If we go back to that game against the Miami Heat, the close to the game, certainly one thing that I'm sure there's a lot to work on there. But as we mentioned, for three quarters, it felt like, especially on the defensive end, we saw some real growth in terms of the same talking points we had heard from Griff the first couple of games.
Yeah, and you talk with folks amongst this coaching staff, and they'll tell you that they fully are aware that there are going to be some breakdowns. I mean, this doesn't change overnight. As a matter of fact, I was talking with Nate Mitchell, who's in charge of the scout today, and actually we'll hear from him later. But off the record, just, you know, at least off the air, we were talking about the fact that with this group of guys, in some ways it makes it easier because you've got a more veteran-laden group, and you know, they've been around, they've seen things, they can pick pieces from other experiences they've had, and they've played some of these things, whether it's internationally with other teams, other coaches, and they can kind of apply that. But by the same token, they've also got some history playing that other brand of defense, so it does take a little bit to break some of those habits. And ultimately, they feel like one of the things they're starting to see is when those mistakes happen, yeah, they happen, but there's almost an immediate recognition of that fact. And I think that is a good sign, too, that these guys, you know, look, it's one thing to make the mistake and play on and not even address it. It's another when you make the mistake, say, ah, I immediately know. So ultimately, the goal is to have this second nature where you don't have to think about it at all. But that invariably is going to take time. Just like anything you do in life, you got to have reps to get it so it's second nature. But when you get to that point, that's when you can become really dangerous in terms of knowing where to be and instinctively moving to those spaces without having to spend that half second, millisecond or so to think about things and make sure you're doing the right thing.
We'll certainly track that tonight, but as we've mentioned, it's not going to be a 1, 2, or 5 game thing. It's going to take some time, and there will be some growing pains. So tracking the progress there is certainly something we'll keep an eye on early this season. You mentioned your conversation with Nate Mitchell. We'll hear that momentarily. Also get you caught up on some news as one big piece of news took place yesterday. We'll take a look at what's going on around the league after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Providing the largest cancer clinical trials treatment program in Wisconsin is more than a statistic. It means offering you more options. It means more hope. At the Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Network, people are the driving force behind providing the most advanced, most powerful cancer care available. We push further, learn more, and lead the way. That's how we do everything humanly possible for life without cancer. To find out how dedication fuels breakthrough cancer care, visit frederick.com/cancer.
Bill Sim, The Sentinel, it seemed like you were carrying the whole team tonight. What's different?
Better diet. Plus, I upgraded to a BMO Bucks debit MasterCard, so yeah, I am carrying the team, literally. Last question.
What perks does the card have?
Up to 20% off Bucks merchandise at the Pro Shop and Fiserv Forum. Speaking of, I'm going to go flash my card at some Bucks fans and make them super jealous.
Carry your team with you when you use the BMO Bucks debit MasterCard. Visit BMO.com/fancard for more details. Banking products are subject to approval and are provided in the United States by BMO Bank and a member FDIC.
Time for a preview of the game with Justin Garcia on Buckshots.
The way he plays, the way that I play, it goes together. You know, we can really benefit from each other being on the floor.
On the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Well, yesterday morning, you likely woke up to the news. James Harden moving on to his fourth team in 4 years as he finally gets his wish, headed to the Los Angeles Clippers. Along with Harden, P.J. Tucker and Filip Petrušev all going out to Los Angeles. At least for now, in the case of Petrušev, the Clippers send out Marcus Morris, Nick Batum, Robert Covington, KJ Martin, and most importantly, a pair of first-round draft picks, including a 2028 first-round pick, 2 second-round picks, and a 2029 first-round pick swap. We mentioned momentarily, at least in the case of Filip Petrušev, as the Clippers are trading him already to the Sacramento Kings. So the Clippers bringing in James Harden into the same backcourt with Russell Westbrook, something we've seen twice before, and Harden gets his wish now going to the team all along it was thought he wanted to be. Some injury news to get you caught up on as well, as Suns guard Devin Booker missed his third straight game last night due to an ankle injury. An incredible comeback from the San Antonio Spurs in that game, erasing a 20-point deficit and winning the game in the final seconds on a play where Keldon Johnson stole the ball out of the hands of Kevin Durant and laid it in to give the Spurs the win. Suns, meanwhile, are also without Bradley Beal, who is yet to make his team debut as he deals with back soreness. No timetable for his return, nor is there a timetable for Devin Booker's return, as head coach Frank Vogel was asked about the possibility of Booker playing tomorrow night when the Suns once again face those San Antonio Spurs. And he said, No timetable yet for Booker's return to the floor. Finally, Joel Embiid, 76ers big man, fined $35,000 yet again for making an obscene gesture. The gesture occurred in the game over the weekend, the Sixers' home opener in that victory over the Portland Trailblazers. $35,000 fine for, as the league put it, a WWE-style crude chop. When we come back, Dave Kane had a chance to catch up with Bucks assistant Nate Mitchell. You'll hear that conversation after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Just like...
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back once again on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. It is the first road game of the season, not an entirely normal road game in many ways, and who better to take us through this first matchup in Toronto than a Toronto native himself. He is one of the new faces on this coaching staff, Coach Nate Mitchell, joining us now. He's also responsible for the scout for this matchup against the Raptors tonight. And, well, let me start there. A team that you were a part of for the last two seasons. What is that like coming back into this building in the opposing locker room? I know it's not the first time you've changed teams, but to do so this early has got to be kind of a strange feeling, particularly in your hometown.
I think it's fine. It's part of the business, you know, going team to team and trying to figure out what the best way to win games is. Preparation has not changed pretty much. It helps that I know the personnel a little bit better than probably most coaches coaching them. But it's exciting time to be back, not only in Toronto, but the home country, Canada. So it's really good, and hopefully we can come out with a win tonight.
Yeah, it's also kind of got to be a funny thing to prep for a team where, yeah, you know these players very well, but the system, like yours, is different than it was a season ago under a new head coach on their side, too. What does that make it like in terms of preparing for this team? I guess you got 4 games to look at, but not a huge body of work.
Yeah, I think obviously the coaching style is a little bit different offensively and defensively, but really helps at the end of the day. No matter what sets that you run, the personnel doesn't change, and then maybe how you use the personnel may be different, but the guys that can shoot can still shoot, like Trent Jr. and OG Anunoby. The guys that can really push the ball and attack the rim, like Scottie Barnes and Pascal, they still do those things, and that's the beauty of basketball, is like just depending on the coaching style and tactics and how you want to use your players is always going to be different. But in preparation, you got to tell your guys who to close out on, and who not to close out on as aggressive, and just to take away their strengths. And that's the most important thing in these games is personnel.
Speaking of personnel, one notable guy that will not be on this team that was for the past number of seasons, Fred VanVleet, one of their best half-court offensive players. I know they've struggled at times in the half-court early on this season, but been scoring a ton in transition. Yeah. How hard is it to try to keep a team like that from going, and how do you prevent them from getting out and running like they want to?
Well, it all starts offensively. I think good shots, taking care of the ball, always help your defensive balance, getting back on defense. Obviously, a point of emphasis for them. Number two in the league so far in transition points at 25 points a game. It's a quarter of their points. We have to really get back, load. You know, Barnes rebounds and pushes it, which is different from a lot of teams. You know, you have a guy who really rebounds, is leading them in rebounding, and then he's starting the break. So we got to make sure we're paying attention to him, loading to the ball. And as much as we can offensively, we got to get good shots. We got to take care of the ball, finish at the rim. This really will minimize their opportunities for transition. So that's a point of emphasis tonight for sure.
On the other side of things, they've had a great defensive showing early on. They've got some long players, always a trick. But going about it a little bit differently, it seems, this year, maybe not quite as aggressive on the perimeter. What are you seeing on that side from them that's working for them?
Oh, they're using the bigs to be back a little bit more with Jakob Poeltl and whatnot. They're not switching as much. Dennis Schroeder's a little bit different than what they've had in the past. He's a guy who really gets up and pressures the ball full court all the time. I mean, Fred did it a lot, too. I think as his offensive usage increased, sometimes that decreased for the Raptors in the past. So with Dennis, who really likes to do that, that's a little bit different for them defensively. And they're shrinking the court. I mean, they're long, they're tall. After Dennis, they're starting everybody that's 6'9 and above from the 2 through 5. So it's important for us to move them. It's important for us to, you know, the ball moving, pace, and making good reads at the rim, because they're really good at, congesting the paint, collapsing on the paint, and make it tough to finish at the rim. So if you can make good reads at the rim, you can get good shots.
Lastly, final question for you is you look at this matchup, it's kind of intriguing in that you have two teams that in some ways are, I don't want to say trading places in terms of their approach, but defensively you guys are trying to make it much more uncomfortable for players on the perimeter, try to force some of those turnovers. They're maybe perhaps backing off a little bit of what they've done in the past. How has that process worked for you all so far? And I know it's going to be probably a year-long endeavor to fully get your guys, maybe not an entire season, but it's going to take some time. Where are you at in that process, do you feel like, from a comfort level?
I think we're in a good place. I think the biggest thing is that when you feel that your habits are not doing what we want to do yet at the fullest of potential, I think it's important to note that the guys are picking up, oh, yeah, I didn't do it that time. Oh, you know what? I can do a little bit better job. And that, to me, is the biggest part, because once you're learning that just means game by game, it's just going to increase the ways how coach wants to play. He wants to pressure the ball so that it increases our pace, which now we're number three in the league in pace in the first 3 or 4 games. So as we continue to pressure the ball and get out and run, for us it'll be good no matter what the other team decides to do offensively or defensively. And so for them, changing their pace and what they want to do in terms of protecting the rim, it's different for them, and we just have to recognize that offensively to attack the right way.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate the time, as always, Coach Nate Mitchell, and welcome back home, kind of, I guess, right?
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll come back in a moment. This is the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Hi, John McGivern here. Did you know Network Health Medicare Advantage plans start at $0 a month? And you can get the extra benefits you need, like dental, vision, over-the-counter items, and more? I know, because I'm a member myself. Call 833-7-NETWORK to learn more today. Network Health Medicare Advantage plans include PPO plans with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Network Health Medicare Advantage plans depends on contract renewal.
Service and savings. It's Woodman's.
Hi, we're the Woodmans. I'm Clint.
I'm Phil, saving you big time money on salads.
9 to 13 ounce Taylor Farms chopped salads, just $2.89. Or 14 ounce Dole coleslaw, just $1.09.
I carumba hot prices on salads.
Chopped salads, $2.89. Coleslaw, $1.09.
Enjoy healthy eating on ready to eat salads and save big time money.
Better products, better prices, better service, because we're employee owned.
It's time to go courtside.
Your job is just to put him in a position that where they can thrive. You know, the ball will be in his hand as well as the ball will be in Giannis' hands. But they are leading, you know, picking rolls and making teams pay.
On the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Be sure to tune in at the start of each game for the Sargento tip-off for Holmes. Every time the Bucks win the opening tip, Sargento will donate $500 to Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity. Time now to go courtside and get some thoughts from Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
How do you see teams defending Giannis differently with Dame on the floor compared to we spent a lot of time figuring out how to try to slow Giannis down with you? So do you notice any shift in coverage as well?
Not really. They still send two or three guys at him. I think the biggest thing is how teams have been playing Dame from even going back to preseason. You know, they've really been aggressive in their pick and rolls almost to a blitz. And you usually don't see that early in the season. But I think it's just a compliment to the type of player Dame is and the attention he commands. But, you know, Giannis is still commanding a lot of attention. They're throwing multiple bodies at him. And our players have been doing a pretty good job with our, you know, better job with our spacing. That's one of the things that I've been harping on. So if team's going to put two or three people on Dame or Giannis, we just got to make them pay with our spacing.
With Chris, you mentioned the idea that, you know, you don't want to send too long to, you know, try to close out a game. So as he starts to have more minutes, is it about lengthening the initial stints for him?
We'll see. We're still evaluating that. For now, he's been progressing very, very beautiful. Lee, just have him on the court, man, we look like a different team. So definitely miss him. But we just got to maximize the minutes that he's on, and we'll continue to evaluate him, you know, game by game. But I do anticipate, you know, moving forward, hopefully soon, that we can get him some more minutes up out there.
It's a small sample size, but through three games, teams are shooting 78% against you at the rim. How do you improve with your rim protection?
Well, what our defense is actually, the ball should be stopped before it gets to the rim. You know, we're a high gap team. We just got to do a better job of controlling some of those drives. But that's one thing we're vulnerable at times when you're flying around and you're pressuring a ball. You speed teams up. And we just got to do a better job at protecting the rim. And we'll get better at that. I think putting four quarters together, you know, the last game, the first three and a half quarters, man, our defense was phenomenal. But that'll come. You know, today is just a snapshot. Yesterday was just a snapshot. And we're just trying to get better each day.
Is that help side recognition, Adrian, where, like, the guys sort of need to just be aware of where their man is moving to kind of, if the ball doesn't stop, that is?
Yeah, well, it's just five guys on defense, and they're all tied together. And we just got to continue to build that chemistry. And they've been great in practice, and it just continue to just harp on our principles of pressuring the ball and then being great in our gaps and our rim protection, and then fire out and contest the threes for urgency, and then rebound. And, you know, that's our philosophy in a nutshell.
Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin in advance of tonight's matchup with the Raptors. That is your pregame brief brought to you by Jockey. Get all the information you need to know heading into tonight's matchup and see how your Milwaukee Bucks stack up against the competition. For nearly 150 years, Jockey has been providing comfort and caring for generations of families, because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Shop Jockey.com. When we come back, we'll get you up to speed on the injury report on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
The all-new Potawatomi Casino Hotel has something you gotta see. Play more slots and games, and you could say, "Show me the money!" to reveal up to 10 grand each Thursday. 800,000 in prizes is up for grabs. 40 winners each week. This October and November at Potawatomi Milwaukee, when you're ready to win, just say, "Show me the money!" More info at paysbig.com. Must be 21 years old and a club member to play.
Bango needs your help to stuff his mailbox before this Bucks season tips off. Show your support for the team and share your best basketball advice, your favorite Bucks moments, or your championship-caliber fan art through Dear Bango, presented by Bubon Orthodontics.
Bengals mailbox is open, and he wants to hear from you. Grab your paper, pencil, and MVP-level creativity. Get all the details on Dear Bango, presented by Bubon, at bucks.com/dearbango.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. We carry a great selection of blinds and shades that provide the perfect fit for any window in your home. Get window images, room darkening, cordless 1-inch vinyl blinds trimmed to width for free, starting at $11.99 after rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through November 5th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Dear basketball fans, want to drive a winner? Get in a Toyota and see how impressive they are. The RAV4 is a versatile playmaker built to get the crowd going. The Highlander is a slam dunk when it comes to space. And the Camry is a fast break of fun and reliability. Plus, these Toyotas come with available all-wheel drive, so you can drive the lane with power. Visit Toyota.com to learn more or check out your local Toyota dealership today. Toyota, let's go places.
Justin Garcia back on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. Time to take a look at the injury reports for tonight's game for the Bucks. Marjon Beauchamp, remember, missed the Miami Heat game. He is available tonight. The only three players out for the Bucks are their three G League players on the two-way contracts: Marquise Bolden, Ty Washington, and Lindell Wigginton, all out tonight for the Bucks. As for the Raptors, they will be without a pair of bigs. Precious Achiuwa out with a left groin strain, and second-year man Christian Koloko out due to a respiratory issue. The injury report is brought to you by Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Their health network makes virtual visits and appointment scheduling a breeze. That's doing everything humanly possible to make every day easier. Counting it down to tip-off here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. And when we come back, we'll be rejoined by Dave Kane to get some final thoughts on tonight's matchup between the Bucks and the Toronto Raptors after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So, if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Almost tip time in Toronto for the Bucks and the Raptors. We're rejoined by Dave Kane, who will call tonight's action. And Dave, it should be a good matchup and a nice test for the Bucks. I know that it's a younger team, and we mentioned some of those names that are out, some bigger players, some of their bigs. But still, this, for the last few years, an athletic, rangy defensive Raptors team, so it should be a nice test for the Bucks offense.
Yeah, it is going to be a good test for them. I mean, you look at what Toronto's done. I mean, a very limited sample size, but that defensive rating is second best in the league. They're allowing the third fewest points of any team in the NBA coming into this one tonight. So, you know, I think for the Bucks, you're going to have an opportunity perhaps with that size and the advantage on the boards tonight, where the Raptors' defense has been so good in general. They have allowed 13 offensive rebounds per game, and that could be an area to exploit for the Bucks. Is, you know, you look at this group, they're 26th in the league in defensive rebound percentage. And then the other thing I'm very curious to watch, the Raptors have struggled with their offense in the half court in particular. 81 points per 100 in half court possessions, scoring 25% of their points though in transition. So I think for Milwaukee, one of the other things you got to watch for, they got to get back on defense, take care of that basketball so you don't present too many of those opportunities. And then, obviously, taking good shots, avoiding easy transition opportunities, obviously, for Toronto, because that's what they really have